There's an ancient Jewish document called the Tosifta Berakot, and it has a lot of teachings about the law and such throughout the history of Israel. And it has this really interesting quote that I want to read to you. It's a prayer, and it's something that the Jewish people were encouraged to pray every day. It goes like this. Blessed are you, Hashem, King of the universe, for not having made me a Gentile. Blessed are you, Hashem, King of the universe, for not having made me a slave. Blessed are you, Hashem, King of the universe, for not having made me a woman. Now, before you wonder, Deacon Cole, why are you giving me this bigoted prayer this early in the morning? Well, for two reasons. First, because it's a great attention grabber in the morning. Secondly, because it teaches us something not about, it's not a prayer from bigotry or from some sort of political agenda, but rather it's a prayer about the law. You see, these three groups, Gentiles, slaves, and women, were not obliged to follow every precept of the law. There were exceptions made for them. And so this prayer is praising God for being able to live every single precept of the law, everything, all the ritual washings, all the liturgical practices. It reminds us of our psalm today. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. It's praising God to give us the fullness of the law, of His commandments. Jesus says in the gospel that He comes not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. In light of all of this, we have to ask the fundamental question, why the law? Why do we have the law? What is it with all these commands? Sometimes it may seem that the church is giving us so many commands, so many precepts. Many people look at the Catholic Church and wonder why we have all of these things that we're told to do, that are imposed upon us. But we have to ask this question, why the law? And we come to find that the answer is not in a platitude or in a saying, but in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. But before we ask this question, we have to ask another question. And that question is, what is sin? What is sin? We go back to the beginning, Adam and Eve. In the garden, Adam and Eve were fully human, fully free. They were in a complete relationship with God. They knew Him. God walked with them. But they were not without a law. God tells Adam, "You may eat freely of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat." There was a command from the beginning. But to understand this, we may ask ourselves, well, what was this command? Was it something about this tree? Perhaps. But to really understand, we have to understand the nature of who God is. You see, God gives this command as a reminder to Adam and to his wife Eve. It's a reminder that I am God and you are not. You are my creature. I am the creator. And if you live and remember me, remember that I made you, and you stay united to me, then you will be truly free. You will be truly a human being and live in my image and likeness. That is the reminder of this command. And so, though it seems to limit them, it's a limitation imposed upon them that you can't eat from this tree, in reality, it connects Adam and Eve to the origin of their life. And in the finding themselves in connection with the origin of their life, they find freedom. They find life, they find love. But we know the story. Man's autonomy wins. And by doing so, in Adam and Eve's desire to be unlimited by this command, they lose everything. They lose their freedom. They lose their power. They lose their happiness. And because of that, so do we. And this resonates with our experience today, doesn't it? We look around us and we see sin. We see sin in our own lives. A priest once told me that really sin boils down to one thing, especially intellectual sin, the sin of the heart. And it's this. Sin really is the prideful desire to be unlimited, to be beyond limitation, to be God in some sense, to make our own reality. We don't like to say no to things. We don't like to be told no. We want something and we want it now. We look at our culture and we see this as well. Our culture tells us that you can be religious, or you can be spiritual, but you don't have to be limited by religious practice. You can be a boy or a girl, but not limited by gender stereotypes. Or you can make up your own gender. It's a limitation imposed upon us, our culture tells us. Or we can be limited in so many other things. And our culture tells us to break free from that. But we know where that goes. We see it all around us, that these are lies. And in the end, when we try to make our own morality, when we try to make our own happiness, it only leads to despair, anxiety, and self-destruction. When man makes his own law, that is the fruit. But there is another way. There is another way, and it is this law. The law not written by human hands, but written by God upon our hearts. Jesus says, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass away. When we live this law that is written on our hearts, we understand something about what it means to be a human being. This way that is written upon our heart is called the law of nature, or in the tradition of the church, the natural law. It's the law that God has given us through human reason to understand the right way to live. It's the law that our conscience perceives and tries to teach us and inform us how to live. Jesus fulfills it. We look back to the Ten Commandments, and when Jesus is speaking today, he gives us a few examples. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not make a false oath. These are the Ten Commandments that Jesus is repeating, but doing it in a new way. Jesus fulfills these laws, this natural law. He fills it with himself. It's not just that he repeats them and tells us to live them, but he gives it a new meaning, a new reason. He fills it with his own light and his own truth. We look at these examples. You shall not kill. But Jesus says it's not just about observing this externally, that we don't kill someone, but it's about living charity in our life, about being a good neighbor, about loving our brother, loving our sister. He says do not commit adultery, but he says it's not just about not committing adultery. It's about living a life of purity, a life of innocence. Jesus gives us a new way to live. He fulfills it by filling the law with himself. St. Paul says, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, woman or man. All of us are bound to this law. All of us are bound to the law because we put on Christ at baptism. And in doing that, we are given the strength to live the law as well. I'm reminded, but all this reminds me of a great scene from the movie Rudy, where Rudy, who is trying to apply to the University of Notre Dame so he can play football, he's despairing, so he goes to visit his priest friend. And when he goes to talk to the priest, he asks him for help, divine help. He says, can God help me to get accepted to Notre Dame? And the priest gives a great quote that I think that makes a lot of sense in light of this gospel today. The priest says, son, in 35 years of religious studies, I've come to know two incontrovertible facts. I'm not God, or excuse me, I just forgot it. There is a God, and I'm not him. There we go. There is a God, and I'm not him. That's the reality. We know this, and this is what the law is trying to teach us. Just as God taught Adam and Eve that you're not God and I am, so God wants to teach us that. If we understand that, then we've really learned something. The truth is, brothers and sisters, the more limited I am, the more I say no to my disordered will, the more I experience dependence upon God, and the freer I become. The law gives us freedom. It seems like a paradox, but this is the truth. I've seen this in my own life, too. When I was ordained to the diaconate last summer, I remember making that vow, that promise of celibacy to the bishop. And since then, yes, there's been times where there's been a temptation to see it as a limitation or as something imposed upon me. But in reality, I've experienced already a greater freedom in my life, a freedom to give myself fully to God in prayer and to the people of God through my relationships with them. The law is not a limitation, but the gateway to freedom. Freedom is where our limitations intersect with God's divine abundance, and He gives us strength. Gaudium et Spes, the premier document of Vatican II, says it this way: genuine freedom is an outstanding manifestation of the divine image in man. God's commands are not oppressive, because they answer our deepest need for truth, beauty, and goodness. They're not arbitrary, because they're filled with the truth of human reason and divine reason. They're not impossible, because Jesus died and rose so that we can live this way. Yes, the law is all the laws of the church, the precepts, the obligations, they are a reminder of our limitation, but they are also the very source of our greatness. So, we need the law because we did not make ourselves. And left to ourselves, we will only try to be something that we are not. And that is the path to slavery. Freedom is saying yes to God fully. And in doing so, we have to say no to ourselves and to the things of this world. So today, brothers and sisters, we praise Christ. We praise Christ for giving us the law, for being the law giver and the law abider, for showing us the way. Blessed are you, Hashem, King of the universe, for teaching me your law and making me holy and free in your sight.